Okay, good morning. Today's shiur is sponsored as a chus for Shalom in Eretz Yisrael, for peace in Eretz Yisrael. If we have time at the end, I wanted to maybe just talk 2 or 3 minutes about it. We'll see if we have time at the end. But definitely we should have peace, and all the Yidden in Eretz Yisrael, soldiers especially, everybody should be safe. So thank you, Mrs. Goldsmith, for preparing the crock pots and the hot plates and the blechs. We're going to get to that shortly. Bez Hashem, let's just finish first what we were discussing last week, and then we'll get to some show and tell. Last week we were discussing the halachos of Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, and Kli Shlishi. So there's just a few things we still need to finish up in regards to that, and then we'll get to all the halachos in regards to how to heat up food on Shabbos in a permitted way. So we discussed last week, a quick review, you remember, or at least you could look at your notes, that we said in a Kli Rishon has the power to cook, and therefore you're not allowed to place food into a Kli Rishon on Shabbos. We said that also Iri Kli Rishon, pouring from a Kli Rishon, has the ability to cook Kidei Klipa, just the surface of the food, and you're not allowed to cook that amount of food either on Shabbos. Therefore, Kli Rishon and pouring from a Kli Rishon on top of food is not allowed. Kli Sheni, we said that Kli Sheni only has the power to cook foods that are Kalei Habishal, only foods that are easily cooked. Which foods are easily cooked? So we said that we have lost the exact knowledge as far as which foods are easily cooked, and therefore no food should be put in a Kli Sheni unless you know for a fact that it's not Kalei Habishal. What are one of the foods that are for sure not Kalei Habishal? So the main food that we said was water. The liquid was water. Therefore, we said technically liquid water is allowed to be put into a hot Kli Sheni on Shabbos. If it's not hot, if it's not Yatzalot, well, anyways, it's permitted. But a hot Kli Sheni water is allowed to be put in. We said another leniency in regards to Kli Sheni was that if it's pre-cooked, if it's spices or some other type of food that is pre-cooked, even if it has a din of a liquid, if it has a din of a solid, if it was pre-cooked, anyways, it's permitted, even in a Kli Rishon, we said. But a Kli Sheni, a liquid, if it's pre-cooked, that is allowed. I called, I made many phone calls this past Friday, and people got back to me. So Kirkland, the Costco brand, they said you can't ask all spices at once, you have to ask one item at a time. So I asked the ground pepper, they got back to me, and they said that it is not pre-cooked. So the Kirkland signature ground black pepper is not pre-cooked, therefore you would not have this leniency as far as putting that in a Kli Sheni. Also, Prima spices. I looked in my cabinet, and more than 50% of the spices I had in my house were from Prima spices. It says it's packaged in Pesei. So I wasn't sure if it was a Jewish place or not. I left a message that I'm an Orthodox rabbi and I need to know for my Sabbath if it's pre-cooked. This guy Yossi leaves me a message back. Oh, you should ask Das Torah. You know, so it's obviously a frum thing. But he said that also his are not pre-cooked. They are dehydrated and they're dried. So therefore, any of the Prima spices that you have, he made it sound like it's all spices. Any of the Prima spices that you had, that you have, are not pre-cooked, and therefore you would not have that leniency in regards to putting it into a Kli Sheni. So that's a leniency in regards to Kli Sheni. As far as Kli Shlishi, we said that Kli Shlishi does not have the ability to cook anything unless we know for a fact that it is Kalei Habishal. And we discussed tea leaves in regards to that. Rav Moshe Feinstein said, anyways, you could put tea leaves in a Kli Shlishi. Almost everybody else said you can't. As far as Kli Sheni, preferable to try and use a Kli Shlishi, but many places can say water is allowed with Kli Sheni, and a Kli Shlishi, almost everything is permitted, except tea leaves, we said, preferably, you shouldn't. We discussed halachos of Dover Gush, and we were rushing at the end, so just to clarify by Dover Gush, and one or two things we left out. Something that's a solid, we said, does not necessarily get the leniencies of Kli Sheni and Kli Shlishi. Therefore, if you have a dry, hot food, a baked potato, or a baked apple, or chont, we discussed, kugel, schnitzel, things like that. So we said, what comes out is that the Mishnah Berurah says you should be machmer that does not have a din of a Kli Sheni, and therefore if you put something on it, if it's yatzah ledespo, what's on the bottom, then it can be cooked. We discussed if you put chont in the same plate as other foods that it gets by mistake. Rav Shlomo Zalman Aruch said you're allowed to rely that it's okay. But one thing needs to be very clear in regards to Dover Gush. We said if something is pre-cooked, then you're allowed to be lenient, and you consider the Dover Gush, the solid, like it's in a Kli Sheni. You don't have to consider it that it's in a Kli Rishon. Since it was pre-cooked, then we say that is allowed. So we said as far as bought ice cream from the store, bought ice cream that is pre-cooked, so you would be allowed to put that on top of a hot cake or a hot pie. Another leniency is by soluble foods. This I don't think we said. If you have sugar or salt, so even if those foods are not pre-cooked, that will be allowed, because on top of a davar gush, the whole time we keep on saying that soluble foods, we spoke about instant tea and instant coffee numerous times, those go into a liquid. So when they go into a liquid, they have the halacha of a liquid. Over here, they're going on top of a solid. We're talking about you putting on top of a solid. So if it's on top of a solid, it has a din of a solid. So if it has a din of a solid, so that what will come out is that if it's pre-cooked, I'm sorry, only if it's pre-cooked. If it's pre-cooked, then even though we said usually when it goes into liquid, it has a din of a liquid, and if it's cooled off, then it's considered cooking. But if you have a pre-cooked soluble food on top of a davar gush, then that is allowed, because since it's pre-cooked and it's going onto a solid, so it has a din of a solid. And then we say ein bishel acha bishel. So if you have a baked apple that's very hot and you want to sprinkle, let's say sugar on top of your baked apple, sugar we say is pre-cooked in the factory, you are allowed to put sugar on top of a hot, very hot baked apple, or salt on top of, let's say you have a knedel that's very hot and you want to put salt on top of it, that is also allowed. Anything that is pre-cooked, that is allowed on top of a solid, even though we said soluble food sometime of a din of a liquid, that's only if it goes into a liquid. If it goes into a solid, then we say that is permitted. So that's as far as davar gush, just to make it clear. Again, usually we have to consider a davar gush, a solid, like a kli rishon. Even if it's in a kli sheni, we have to consider it like a kli rishon. But we have one big leniency that if it's pre-cooked, then you are allowed to consider the solid like it's in the regular kli sheni or in the regular kli shlishi. A ladle. So that we didn't discuss last week. As far as a ladle, you have soup that's in a kli rishon, and you scoop it into a ladle, and from the ladle into a bowl of soup. So the question is that bowl of soup, is that a kli sheni, or is that a kli shlishi? In other words, the ladle that is submerged into the hot liquid, into the hot soup, does the ladle get the halacha of a kli sheni? And then when it goes to the bowl of soup, now the bowl of soup is a kli shlishi? Or do we say that no, that since the ladle was submerged into the soup, therefore it doesn't get a halacha of a kli sheni, it remains like a kli rishon, and then when you pour that into the soup, then the bowl of soup, then the bowl would have only a din of a kli sheni, which is very nogeya as far as putting raw spices and things like that. So what is the halacha of a ladle? So the problem is that the Mishnah Berurah himself seems to say two different things. In two different places, one time he seems to be strict that the ladle has a din of a kli rishon, and one time the Mishnah Berurah seems to be lenient that the ladle has a din of a kli sheni. So what's the practical halacha? So as I said in the first class on Bishul, we're not going to get into all the details and how to learn and to look up all the Mishnah Berurahs inside, but even I did it before, but what comes out practical halacha is the following. When you have in regards to the question of Bishul Achar Afia, we discussed that the halacha is that if something was baked, then we are strict, then we say if something was baked, it has the ability to become cooked afterwards. It adds different factors to it and different qualities, so we're not allowed to cook something after it was baked before Shabbos. So if you have baked croutons, we said that can become cooked. Over here we have a leniency. When you have a bowl of soup, and the question is this bowl of soup a kli sheni or a kli shlishi? Because we're not sure what the ladle has a status of, there we are lenient and we say that you're allowed to put a baked item into a kli sheni. Usually you're not allowed to put things into kli sheni. Maybe it's kali habishul, like we discussed last week. But something that was previously baked, we're not going to combine two chumras, because bishul achar afia is a machlokas, but we say you should be strict. But bishul achar afia we would let when you have the question of a ladle. That since you're pulling in a bowl of soup, perhaps the ladle was a kli sheni, and now the bowl is only a kli shlishi, so this we will let. You are allowed to put baked croutons, and I think we mentioned this when we discussed croutons, that even if it is baked, it would end up being permitted, because we rely on the fact that this bowl anyways is a kli shlishi. Kli shlishi can't cook unless it's tea leaves, that for sure is a kali bishul. So that is one leniency when it comes to a ladle. In regards to putting something in the ladle itself, which is not so common, but in the ladle itself, so now we have a question, is the ladle a Kli Rishon or a Kli Sheni, meaning our question is not Kli Sheni or Kli Shlishi, our question is Rishon or Kli Sheni, that we are strict and you shouldn't put anything into the ladle itself.
And spices?
Spices, so we said, if it's...
that's not baked or cooked.
So if it's not baked or cooked before, so since it's not baked or cooked, we need to assume that perhaps this is a Kli Sheni. Perhaps the ladle doesn't has a din of a Kli Rishon, and if it's a Kli Sheni, you are not allowed to be put non-baked, previously non-baked spices in a Kli Sheni. So if you want to put ground black pepper from either Kirkland or from Prima, as we spoke about before, so that would not be allowed into a bowl of soup, because we have to assume that perhaps the ladle is still a Kli Rishon because it was submerged, and the bowl is only a Kli Sheni. You're not allowed to put those non-pre-cooked spices into a bowl, a hot, only if it's hot, only if it's hot, so this bowl, a bowl of soup on Shabbos. If it's pre-cooked, then anyways it's allowed in a Kli Sheni. But if it's not pre-cooked, then you would not be allowed. Just to stress what she's pointing out, something that is permitted in a Kli Sheni as pre-cooked spices, anyways that's permitted in a Kli Sheni. So you don't have to worry about the whole ladle issue, because for sure it's a Kli Sheni at least. Maybe it's Kli Sheni, maybe it's Kli Shlishi. Even if it's a Kli Sheni, if it's something that's permitted to be put into a Kli Sheni, like pre-cooked spices, then anyways it's permitted. Question is, baked foods that are not allowed to be put in a Kli Sheni, here you are able to be lenient because we say perhaps it is considered like a Kli Shlishi. Is that clear?
Did you speak about pouring from the ladle right onto the croutons?
So that would be Iri Kli Rishon, pouring straight from the ladle onto the croutons or onto the chal or onto the matzah. That we don't have such a leniency. That's Iri Kli Rishon, and we say that that can cook the surface of the food, and that would not be allowed. That would not be allowed because it cooks the surface of the food. That we don't have such a leniency.
The croutons in the soup, you can't pour from the ladle.
If you already have the croutons in the soup, you are not allowed to pour from a ladle onto it. If the soup is hot, if it's Yatzel Edesbo, if it's perhaps Yatzel Edesbo, 110 degrees, then you are not allowed to be pouring onto the croutons. But once it's in a Kli Sheni, then we are able to say, oh, perhaps it's really a Kli Shlishi because of the ladle, and you'll be allowed to put the croutons inside.
Is there a leniency to have the soup like in the ladle, let's say, like that's what I think I went to, like for like a 10 extra seconds or something like that, so that you can like establish the ladle as the Kli Sheni and then pour it onto...
Perhaps, I was thinking about that, I didn't see anyone say that, but it did cross my mind that perhaps there would be such a leniency, because the problem is that the ladle is submerged in the water. So since it's submerged in the water, then we say that maybe it has a din of a Kli Rishon. So you're saying if you take it out, I didn't see anyone say that. It seems as if once it got the liquid when it was submerged, then we're more strict. I'm not finished about the ladle, but that's what it seems.
I'm a little confused. Okay.
Don't worry.
If the bowl of soup is established that it's a Kli Shlishi, then
if it is established as Kli Shlishi, let's say you would take from one bowl to another bowl, once it's a Kli Shlishi, you're allowed to do anything, except for perhaps tea leaves, saying, but then you would be allowed to do anything.
So the question is, if the bowl of soup is a Kli Sheni, then if the spices are not
pre-cooked, then you are not allowed to put it in. Correct.
You can't put it in, but you can.
But if it is pre-cooked, then you can, because even if it is a Kli Sheni, you're allowed to put pre-cooked foods into a Kli Sheni, pre-cooked spices into a Kli Sheni, that you're allowed. It's for sure not a Kli Rishon, right? The pot of soup is the Kli Rishon. So the worst it could be is a Kli Sheni. That is allowed to put pre-cooked.
So let's say the ladle's hot, the ladle becomes the Kli Rishon, and the soup bowl is now a Kli Sheni, but you got to get it from the kitchen to the dining room, and it's sitting on the counter because you did five bowls and then you're taking it in. By the time it gets to the table, is it still a Kli Sheni?
It's still a Kli Sheni, but the question is, by the time it gets to the table, is it still Yad Sol Ledesbo?
Okay.
If it is Yad Sol Ledesbo, even if it's been in the Kli Sheni for a half hour, if somehow it's still Yad Sol Ledesbo, it's a huge Kli Sheni, we still have the same halachos that it's considered like a Kli Sheni. If it has reached below Yad Sol Ledesbo, meaning it's below 110 degrees, and we know for sure, according to Moshe Feinstein, it's not Yad Sol Ledesbo, then you could do whatever you want. Even in a Kli Rishon, you could do whatever you want, if it's below Yad Sol Ledesbo. If it's above Yad Sol Ledesbo, then we have to treat it like perhaps a Kli Sheni, perhaps a Kli Shlishi. Therefore, you're not allowed to put non-pre-cooked spices, but you are allowed to cook previously baked foods. Okay?
Okay. So the croutons are going to be previously baked.
Well, you have to know that company of croutons is a baked or cooked.
Uh-huh.
One other chumrah that in regards to the ladle, the Mishnah Berurah is more strict. If you submerge the ladle in the pot and you keep it there, somebody brought that up a couple weeks ago. If you keep the ladle in the pot for a long time, what is considered a long time? So I saw one English publication said a minute or two, meaning that you leave the ladle inside and then you go start getting more bowls or something, and you leave the ladle in there for a longer amount of time, then you cannot be lenient and say, oh, perhaps the bowl is a kli shlishi. There you have to consider for sure the bowl of kli sheni. If you submerge and you leave the ladle in the pot, or I saw in the Shabbos kitchen, he didn't say where he gets it from, but this is what he says, and it makes a lot of sense, that if you use this ladle many, many times, if you use the ladle, I saw one place said 12 to 16 times, again and again and again and again, then even if you don't leave it in there, but now already from that point and on, from the 12th bowl of soup and on, then you have to also be strict and consider the bowl like a kli sheni. Okay, those are just two extra chumras in regards to the ladle. But the standard of a ladle is that perhaps the bowl of soup is a kli sheni, perhaps it's a kli shlishi. You have to be strict that maybe it's a kli sheni, unless we're talking about a case of bishul achar afia. Then it's not. Then it is allowed. And anyways, pre-cooked spices, anyways, would be allowed, like we said, because that, worst comes to worst, it's a kli sheni.
Question about that. If the ladle is, what's the difference between bowl number 6 and bowl number 16? Like, is it that the ladle became like the pot?
Well, it's called malar asicha. Then now the ladle has become so hot that now the ladle itself has a din of a
kli sheni. Different ladle, let's say.
Yeah, then it wouldn't. Yeah, then it wouldn't.
I have a suggestion. Use a tureen.
Okay, you could use a tureen. If you pour it in, then it's just poured in, right? For sure.
Right. No, and then when it comes to the table, then for sure.
Then it's a klishi. Yeah. Okay, if you have one. Okay, let's move on to permitted ways of heating up food on Shabbos. So we discussed numerous times already. I think we said it in the first class. We said it in the second class that you are not allowed to take food from the refrigerator on Shabbos, even if it's totally cooked before Shabbos. You are not allowed to take it from the refrigerator and place it straight on the fire on Shabbos. That is a din midrabanan. It's not midraisa because it was previously cooked, but you're not allowed to midrabanan place a food directly on the fire to heat it up on Shabbos. That is what we call nesina lechatchila, and therefore the rabbanan say that looks like bishul. It's mexican mavashal. It looks like cooking on Shabbos, so therefore midrabanan that is not allowed. So what is the permitted ways to heat up food on Shabbos? You have Shabbos morning, you wake up, you're getting ready for the Suda, and you want to heat up some food. This way, by the time the Suda starts, the food is hot or warmed up. How are we able to do this on Shabbos? So, the halacha is that you're allowed to heat something up in an unconventional way, meaning putting it directly on the fire or directly in the oven. That is the normal way of cooking during the week. So even though this food is previously cooked, but it still looks like cooking and you're not allowed. But if you do it in a weird way, in an unconventional way, then we say that you are permitted to heat it up on Shabbos. Of course, not to cook it. I'm talking about food that is totally cooked before. But you are allowed to reheat something, to heat something up in an unconventional way. What are the unconventional ways? What are considered the weird ways to cook something on Shabbos? So, number one, we discussed already. Putting a food into a kli rishon is permitted, even if the kli rishon is yatzaleh, this bowl was totally cooked before, that's considered an unconventional way. You'd be allowed to take, like we said, you're allowed to take knedels from the refrigerator or noodles from the refrigerator and put it into a kli rishon. You can't put it then onto the fire, but that's what we said last week in regards to kli rishon. Any solid that was previously cooked, you're allowed to put it into a kli rishon. That already we discussed last week. Another way is you are allowed to put something near a fire. Talk about an uncovered fire. Talk about blechs in a moment, but uncovered fire, you're allowed to put something not on top of the fire, but near the fire. Most poskim say this is allowed. The Mishnah Berurah himself seems to say that this is allowed to put something near the fire. The Shulchan Aruch says this, and the Mishnah Berurah seems to go with this. There are those that say that preferably you shouldn't. Rav Shlomo Zalman Aruch says you're allowed to as long as it's a little bit far. That is definitely one way. If you have no other option, you can do this if the food is a little bit off of, not next to the fire, not on the fire, but next to the fire, not on the fire, but next to the fire, then we say that if it could get heated up like that, that is also considered an unconventional way. It's not on the fire, it doesn't look like you're cooking, and therefore that will be allowed. That's not such a common way, I think. The most common way, which we always rely on, is what we call hefsik kedera, or kedera agabe kedera, meaning one pot on top of another pot. So the Shulchan Aruch says that you are allowed to place a food that you want to heat up on Shabbos on top of another pot of food. So if you have a pot of food on the fire, or you have a pot of chont in the cylinder inside the crock pot, or you have an urn that's plugged in and it's very hot, you are allowed to take food from the refrigerator and place it on top of that pot of food. And then that's considered, that's obviously not the way we cook during the week. You wouldn't even be able to cook like that. It wouldn't cook a food for the first time. You put a raw food like that, it wouldn't be able to cook it up. Therefore, you're allowed to heat something up like that on Shabbos. That doesn't look like cooking at all. Very important, and we were discussing this last week and 2 weeks ago. The Bir Halacha, who's the Chafetz Chaim, the same person as the Mishnah Berurah, says that that bottom pot, so if let's say you have this crock pot for tonytime.com, I know they can't see, but if you have this crock pot, oh, you have a cookie tray. So here's a crock pot, and let's say there's food inside of this. So you have another pot of food. Let's say you have this, a bunch of food in here. You have schnitzel. Okay, I don't know if this is going to stay here, but
turn it upside down.
Okay, lid. Oh, we'll talk about turning the lid upside down. Okay, but let's say this lid was right side up. Well, let's say you just have a challah and you want to place it on top. So you'd be allowed to do this. This is called hefsek kedera. Here's the heating element on the bottom, let's say, or the sides. The food is inside. The Bir Halacha says that the bottom pot must have food in it. The Bir Halacha says the bottom pot must have food in it. Once you have food in the bottom pot, then we say, oh, that's weird to put a pot of food on top of another pot of food. Okay? Also, the Chazon Ish says that the reasoning why you're allowed to put one pot on top of another pot, or one food, doesn't have to be a pot, one food on top of another pot, is that the heat goes into the bottom food, and then that food heats up the food on top of it. So therefore, that's not considered the normal way of cooking. So therefore, also, the Chazon Ish says the pot on the bottom has to have food in it. That's the whole reasoning behind it. That's where Nissen Karelitz explains, based on the Chazon Ish, that since the bottom pot absorbs the heat, and it's just that bottom food that heats up the top food, so therefore, that's why it's permitted to place a pot on top of it. That is what the Bir Halacha says. So if you would have, let's say you have a hot plate, and you take just an upside-down pan, let's say you take an upside-down pan for Shabbos, on Shabbos, and you place it on top of, well, we'll talk about a hot plate and a blach in a second, you just place it on top of a fire. According to the Bir Halacha and the Chazon Ish, and the Nissen Karelitz and Rabbi Yashiv, you're not allowed to place a challah on top of it. You're not allowed to place a pan of schnitzel or chicken cutlets on top of it. That is what they seem to say. However, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says the following. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that this Bir Halacha, this Chafetz Chaim, that said the bottom pot must have food in it, was only back then. They had different types of ovens. Therefore, only then did you have to have food or liquid, by the case of the urn, in the bottom container. However, nowadays, says Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, that you are allowed to just take a 9x13 pan or some type of plate. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says a tzalachat, which is a plate, and turn it upside down on a fire, if it's able to absorb, if it's able, you know, won't get burnt or something like that, some type of plate that you're able to place upside down on top of a fire, and place food that was previously cooked, you just want to heat it up, you are allowed to place food on top of that plate on Shabbos. And that, I think, is what a lot of people rely on. No Rebbe Ribiat goes with this Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and says you're allowed to do it. However, just to be true, Rabbi Ribiat says that you can't use a cookie pan like this. This is very thin, and therefore he says that that's not considered enough of a hefsek. Now, I was surprised. Right, so I was very surprised Rabbi Ribiat said that, because Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says you're allowed to use even a plate. So he says, not doesn't seem to say only this 9x13 pan, which is nice and tall, but he says even a plate. Because, listen, let's face it, he says, that's not the normal way to cook on Shabbos. If I was very, in the back, you know, those of you know how Rabbi Ribiat Sefer works, he has footnotes in the back. He didn't explain why he says a silver foil pan. He just quotes Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and says even a plate is allowed. I do believe the minig of a lot of people is those who rely on Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach to use even a pan like this to put it on top of a fire. We'll talk about hot plates and blachs in a second, but it's going to be the same thing. And therefore, if you use a upside down cookie tray, what's this called? A cookie pan? Cookie sheet, thank you. Then you'd be allowed to place it on top. I do believe that's the minig of Olam. I do not believe there's any purpose in speaking to Rabbi Sachs about this, because you told me that Rabbi Sachs says that you have to go with the simple reading of the Bir Halacha and what the Chazon Ish says and what Rabbi Yashiv says, that the bottom pot has to have food in it. That seems to be the halacha. Rav Shmuel Zalman says it would, the bottom pan does not have to have food, and I would think from his lashon that it would be even a cookie sheet. However, one thing is clear, that a silver foil sheet, just a sheet of silver foil, of aluminum foil, that is not sufficient. We're going to talk about hot plates, but to place that on a hot plate, that is not sufficient. That is not enough to say, oh, it looks weird. That's not the normal way we cook. Plenty of people would put a silver foil underneath just to keep it clean, or things shouldn't get loose or fall apart. That is not enough of a difference to say that that would make it permitted on Shabbos.
It has to be done before Shabbos?
I'm talking about on Shabbos. I'm talking about next week, Be'ez Hashem, we'll discuss the halachas of putting foods on before Shabbos. Hot plates. So, as far as hot plates are concerned, you have the hot plate, and it's plugged in before Shabbos. So, as far as, we're going to discuss now non-adjustable hot plates. Bez Hashem, next class, we'll discuss the halachos of adjustable hot plates, and we'll tie it back to placing foods on that on Shabbos, when we discuss Shehiyah, putting things before Shabbos. Right now, we're talking about non-adjustable hot plates. So, can you take something out of the refrigerator on Shabbos, and place it straight onto a hot plate? You have a pan of schnitzel or something like that. Can I place it straight on the hot plate or not? So, generally, basically what comes out is that you shouldn't do that. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, I know in the Shabbos kitchen, he quotes Rav Moshe Feinstein, but from what it seems is that he quotes it incorrectly. But Rav Moshe Feinstein says that it has to be that the hot plate is impossible to cook on the hot plate. I think most hot plates are possible to cook on. Maybe it's not normal to cook on, but it's possible to cook on. Therefore, Moshe Feinstein would say, and Rabbi Yashiv says this as well, that you're not allowed to place food directly from the refrigerator directly onto a hot plate on Shabbos. As far as what Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach holds, I saw two different things in two different places from Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach saying two different things. One place he says it is permitted, one place he says it's not permitted. Definitely you should not take food directly from the hot from the refrigerator onto or stomp from the counter directly onto a hot plate on Shabbos. But as far as placing, you know, a 9x13 pan on the hot plate and then you can put a pot on top of it like that, so this is empty. Can you do that? So the same way Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach would let this on a fire, he would let this on a hot plate as well. You'd be allowed to do that. As far as a cookie sheet, it would be the same halacha like we discussed before. It seems as if it would be mutter. Rabbi Ribiad says it would not be mutter, even according to Rav Shlomo Zalman. I don't see why exactly, but a lot of people do this. I've seen this in many houses. You take an upside down cookie sheet and you place something on the fire on the hot plate, which is on the cookie sheet on Shabbos, straight doing it on Shabbos. That would be allowed. That would seemingly be allowed according to Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. If you want to rely on that, I cannot tell you not to. That's basically as far as a hot plate. Again, as far as the adjustable hot plates with the knobs and covering the knobs, that's all Be'ez Hashem we'll discuss next week. But as far as the hot plate, that would be the halacha. As far as the blech, which we have over here, it will come out the following. Now, there's really three parts to a blech. Oh, I'm sorry. I promised. As far as the crock pot. Everyone wanted to know, and when I told someone I'm giving the halachas of bissel, so she told me, oh, you have to talk about it. You're allowed to put the lid upside down. So Rav Nissen Karelitz says you're allowed to have the lid upside down on a crock pot. But what's the issue? Anybody think, what's the issue as far as having a lid upside down?
Like water?
Okay, so besides the water, well, we were discussing a couple weeks ago as far as fleishiks, you're making the bread fleishiks. So the halachas of making bread milchiks are also by making bread fleishiks. You're not allowed to make a bread fleishiks. So somebody spoke for me, someone spoke to one of the paiskim in the Chav Kei, and he said that perhaps there's what to rely on to place a challah on top of a crock pot, meaning even if food is, the fleishiks is going to come up into the challah, you're sort of making your challah fleishiks. The best would be to wrap the silver foil around the challah. As far as wrapping the silver foil totally around the challah, we'll discuss the halachas of hatmana. You have to keep in mind all halachas. Basically, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and Rabbi Yashiv say you are allowed to wrap a challah totally in silver foil and place it on top of a crock pot. So that will be allowed. The best will be to wrap the challah, if you put it on top of a crock pot, at least on the bottom, but even be totally allowed to have silver foil around it, so none of the condensation, none of that makes the challah fleishiks. As far as inverting the cover, that is the following. You'll remember that we discussed in the first class that covering a pot hastens the cooking on Shabbos. So if the food in the chont is not fully cooked, you are not allowed to open it and cover it, even for a moment, because now you are hastening the cooking. Let's say the food in the crock pot is totally cooked. Shabbos morning, chances are it's totally cooked. I'm sure it is. But the problem is, if you remember, we said that it's not so simple. If it's still on the heating element, if it's still on the fire, you are also, according to our Moshe Feinstein, not allowed to cover a pot. So if you want to invert it because you can't keep it on it, so what do? You pick up the lid and you turn it upside down. So now you just covered a pot, even though it was fully cooked, but it was on the fire. So Moshe Feinstein said you shouldn't do that. The Shvisha Shabbos also said you shouldn't do that. However, I'm sure you all remember that plenty of Paiskim said you are allowed to. If it is fully cooked, even if it's on the heating element, which of course a crock pot is, many Paiskim said that is allowed, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and others. Therefore, the best would be is if you take the crock pot off of the fire with all the halachas of Chazara, which we need to discuss in two classes, Be'ez Hashem, with all the halachas of Chazara, then you invert it, and then you could put it back. If nobody's home, your husband's in shul, and none of the kids are home, and none of the kids are able to help you, so then, yeah, you could rely on Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and Rabbi Yashiv and other Paiskim, the Ber Moshe, Rabbi Scheinberg, others, that they said that you are allowed to cover a pot, even if it's on the heating element, even if it's on the fire, as long as it's fully cooked. So fine, if you need to invert it, I would tell you, yeah, you'd be allowed to rely on that. If you can, the best would be to take it off before you invert it. But technically, as far as having it inverted, that is not a problem. The question is, you just have to work out as far as flipping it over. Yeah.
My lid has two holes in it. The steam comes up.
That's more of a problem. For sure, you should, if you're going to heat up your challah on top of it, for sure it should be wrapped in silver foil.
No,
sure.
But even in terms of heating food, putting like a pan on top of that, that's
not an issue. So it's only if it's fully cooked. Again, the pan is fully cooked. No, but that's still not considered the conventional way of cooking. So if it's fully cooked before Shabbos, it would still be allowed to do that.
Yeah. With putting food, the same as you said before about not putting, that you could put food on an open fire if you put it next to it.
Okay.
So what's the status of the crock pot? Let's say I want to.
That's not an open fire. The crock pot, the cylinder is covering the fire.
So then if I put something next to it, that's a problem?
No. What do you mean next to it? No, that's like the same way you could put it on top, you could put it next to it.
Uh-huh.
On the counter, next to the crock pot? Yeah, that's allowed. A block we're going to discuss in a second. But, yeah.
If the crock is out,
the cylinder, yeah.
Chilling, okay?
Okay.
For later, for something. That you've got your empty heating element.
Right.
Could you put a pan across the top of that if you want something up?
Can you put a pan on top? I would imagine the crock pot would have the same, at that point, the crock pot would have the same, right, the crock pot would have the same halacha of a hot plate, that it's just heat, there's no food inside of it, obviously, by hot plate, there's no food in it, you put a pan on top, it would depend on that pan. I would imagine, you know, you would get into that machlokas as far as, you know, the Chazon Ish and Rabbi Yashiv and Nissen Karel, it's against the Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, how to learn, you know, the Bir Halacha, I imagine it would be the same thing. No, she's talking about if the pan doesn't have food, she said if the food is out. Yeah.
They used to make a plata with water in it.
Okay.
To avoid that problem.
Right.
So how much water needs to be? Like how much of a, how thick does that bottom pan have to be a food?
I'm not sure. I don't know. As long as it's considered a substantial amount and it's considered that it has food, you know, how much heat needs to get absorbed according to the Chazon Ish, I'm not sure. It seems as if, you know, a decent amount. If it would be a tiny, tiny, thin amount, I can't imagine it would help.
Because, like, once you're placing water in a thin pan so that you can put something on top of it, it's not really food. You're just leaving it there to...
So let's say the water is there from before Shabbos. You place the water there on Shabbos, you didn't accomplish it.
Right.
Before Shabbos, right.
In order so that you can put food there.
Yeah, so then if you want to be makkel like that, I imagine that would help. Yeah, so then the heat would be absorbed into the water, and then the water is heating that. Okay, very quickly. Very quickly. Okay, we're going to have to discuss flat crock pots, Bez Hashem, next week in regards to Hatamona, in regards to Shehiyah. I know I always tell you no, so one last question. Yeah.
What if you just want to open, not to heat on top, you just want to open the crock pot, you hold the side of the actual pot, not the heating element, and you want to just check the power?
So that we discussed in class number one and number two. Blue Nether, I'll tell you at 10 o'clock. Okay? Very good. A blech. So as far as fully cooked foods, again, all we're talking about is all fully cooked foods. You can't cook on Shabbos no matter what, with any interruptions in between as far as a crock pot and plates. If it's not cooked yet, you can't cook something on Shabbos. We're talking about all fully cooked foods. So can I take food from the refrigerator and place it on a blech on Shabbos? So there are three parts to a blech. Now, it's hard to tell from here, but there are going to be three parts to a blech. There's the part of the blech that is above the actual fire. It's It's above the actual fire. Meaning, let's say I have four fires on my stovetop, so I put the blach on top. So let's say one of them is right over here. So I have a fire. So that's place number A. We'll call it A, where the fire is. Then we have place B, which is that it's not on top of the fire, but it's close enough that the food over there can reach Yad Soledes Bo. Can reach Yad Soledes Bo, which we said, according to Moshe Feinstein, is already from 110 degrees, perhaps it is Yad Soledes Bo. So that is place B. Is A, which is mamash on top of the fire. B is that it's close enough that it's able to reach out to Soledes Bo, but not exactly on the fire. And place C is all the rest of the blech, that the food over there will get warmed up. It obviously gets a little bit warm, else you wouldn't do it, but it doesn't reach. It's for sure not going to reach Yad Soledes Bo. So what are the halachos in regards to those three places? Place A, B, and C. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says, and I'm listening correctly, Rav Moshe Feinstein says that you are not allowed to take food from the refrigerator on Shabbos and place it on spot A or spot B on Shabbos morning. You have food in this pot and you want to heat it up. So you are not allowed to place it directly on top of a plate. On directly on top of the blach, on top of the fire. Also, you're not allowed to on spot B, where it's close enough to reach Yad Soledes Bo. Keep in mind, we already said in class number one and class number two that even if you have full intention of removing it before the amount of time that it could reach Yad Soledes Bo, you're still not allowed to, because you may forget, but you're not allowed to place it in that spot whatsoever from the refrigerator. However, Moshe Feinstein says that you are allowed to place it on spot C. If it's a spot where it warms it up, of course it warms it up, or else you wouldn't be doing it, it warms it up, but it's for sure not going to reach Yad Soledes Bo, then we say that that is allowed. It happens to be, Rabbi Yashiv says, that you're not allowed to place it even on spot number 3, spot number C, spot letter C, but Rabbi Moshe Feinstein says you are allowed, and others say you are allowed, if that's the way you heat up things on Shabbos, you have a fire with a blech, so Rabbi Moshe Feinstein says you're allowed to place it on a spot where it for sure will not reach Yad Soledes Bo.
Without a pan or anything?
This is as far as a blech. Happens to be the Chazon Ish says a blech doesn't help you whatsoever. I'm curious what Rabbi Sachs says about that, if he relies on blechs in general. We're talking about Shabbos, not Yontif, where Yontif you're allowed to cook. But on Shabbos, Chazon Ish says that, he says that doesn't make it any bit of an unconventional way. Chazon Ish says, yeah, it's normal to cook like this. This is considered normal, it's too thin, we normally cook like that, but other places can go without that. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein says, a blech you can rely on, as long as it's not in spot A or B. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says you are allowed to on spot C.
What if you left it on the whole night, Friday night, and then Shabbos morning?
Oh, so now let's discuss that, where it's already on the blech, not from before Shabbos. We're not talking about before Shabbos, we're talking about placing it on Shabbos. But if it's there from the night before, so let's discuss that now. Let's say the fire is from the pot, like you said, is on spot C. You put it there on Friday night, and now you want to move it to spot A or B. So there Moshe Feinstein says you are not allowed to. You can't move it, because when it's on spot C, that's not considered as if it's on the fire whatsoever. That's why you are allowed to place it from A, from the refrigerator, onto C. But if it's on C, like you said, from the night before, again, we're not talking about from before Shabbos, we'll talk about that separately, but even if it's there, the truth is, even if it's there from before Shabbos, you are not allowed to move it onto spot B, and for sure not onto spot A. If it was on spot A, and then you move to C, and then you want to move back to A, there's a big discussion. I saw in one English publication, he says you're allowed to. I think he misunderstood what Moshe Feinstein says, if you look it up inside, which I don't expect you to. Definitely, if you want to have it on spot A, and you want to move it to C, and then back to A, the best is just to do the halachos of Chazara, which we'll discuss Bez Hashem in two classes, as far as holding on to it, having in mind, and all those things, that would be the best. If you're going to remove it and put it back, the best is to have in mind all the halachos of Chazara. Okay, there's still a few other things we could do, but I think it's not as important. As far as non-foods, just one last halacha before, I just want to say something about something on the parasha that's negeh, I think, to what's going on, is non-foods. Just keep in mind, before we get to all the halachos of Shehiyah, Chazara, and Hatmana, which will be Bez Hashem in the coming weeks, but non-foods also can be cooked on Shabbos. And we're not going to get into all the halachos as far as metal, which is another issue as far as can the blech, which is metal, can that be cooked up on Shabbos? Are you allowed to place a blech on the fire on Shabbos? Maybe we'll get to that in the coming weeks. But If you have, let's say you were caught in a rainstorm, in a snowstorm, it's winter coming up, and let's say you have your socks are sopping wet, or your coat is sopping wet. So we never discussed yet, I think one time we discussed after class, as far as hanging out things to dry. We discussed the halachos of Malabin, Bez Hashem, we'll discuss those halachos. But to place a hot, you know, a drenched coat or gloves or socks or rubbers on a radiator is not allowed on Shabbos, because the water over there, if it can reach Yad Soledes Bo, so then the water over there can get cooked up. That you have to be careful that you're not allowed to do. If it was previously cooked, so Moshe Feinstein says you're allowed to place food on a radiator also. If you want to heat up a food on a radiator, also Moshe Feinstein says that's allowed. But water that is just stam water that you got drenched in the rain, that is not allowed, because that's cooking it up. You have to be careful about that. One other thing, which I forgot to mention, I'm sorry, go back to your notes on blech. On the blech we said, when you're allowed to put it from one thing we didn't say at all, which is important. As far as spots A and B, are you allowed to move it from A to B and B to A? So the halacha is that if the food is Yad Soledes Bo, so if it's on spot B and it's Yad Soledes Bo, you are allowed to move it to spot A, because that's all has the same halacha as spot A. But over there you have to be careful. We discussed in the first class that Yad Soledes Bo is perhaps already at 110 degrees, but it's only for sure Yad Soledes Bo at 160 degrees. So if you want to move a pot on the blech from B to A, then you have to be sure that spot B was for sure Yad Soledes Bo. Right, that has to be 160 degrees. Meaning to put onto spot B that you're not allowed from the refrigerator, that's already at 110 degrees, because maybe it's Yad Soledes Bo. If you want to move from B to A, that is only allowed if it's for sure Yad Soledes Bo, which is 160 degrees. Okay, that I think covers basically what we need to know as far as hot plates and blechs, all in regards to fully cooked and all in regards to putting it there on Shabbos. As far as putting it before Shabbos, that Be'ez Hashem we'll discuss next week. Let me take your questions in 2 minutes. Let me just say just one thing, if I may. In this week's parasha, we have all the Shvatim are born, and by Leah it says when Leah had Yehuda, so she says she named him Yehuda. Why? Because Apam Odes Hashem. Now I'm going to thank Hashem. So you all know, Rashi explains, why now, by the fourth child, she needs to thank Hashem. What about the previous children? So, I'm sure many of you know that Rashi says that they knew they were going to have 12 Shvatim, right? They knew they were going to have 12 Shvatim, and they knew there was four wives. So you make the mathematical calculation, every wife deserves three children. So now, Rashi says, now Leah sees that she gets four. So wow, now she got more than her share. So now she really needs to thank Hashem, because she got four, and more than what she would be normally, what she thought was entitled to. So I want to Reb Shat that it's not just simply that she has to thank Hashem for the fourth one, because now she got more than her share, but then now that shows us, Leah realized that evidently not all of the wives were entitled to three children. Because if she got four, someone's going to get two. It ends up the other three, all of them, got only two. But she realized when she had a fourth child that only that someone is entitled to only two. And therefore you see that not everyone's entitled to three. So therefore she has to thank Hashem, not just on this one. She has to thank Hashem on all of them. Because you don't necessarily, that wasn't for sure that everyone was entitled to three from the fact that she got four. So you see other people got two. Other ones are going to get two. And then she has to thank Hashem for all that she had until then as well. And I think when with the hurricane here a couple of weeks ago, and you know we have things and we take for granted. We think, you know, of course, who doesn't have power? Who doesn't have a washing machine? Who doesn't have heat? Who doesn't have all these things? And who doesn't have safety? And you know, why would trees be falling on houses and cars and things like that? And then all of a sudden you realize that, you know, it's not so simple. That it's not guaranteed that we have it. And if you look at pictures, if you have access to pictures of what's going on in Eretz Yisrael, or the news, or you, everyone hears what's going on, you know, you think, like, you know, it's safety, you come out of your house, you're able to go to the store, you're able to go to shul, wherever you need to take your kids to school, and there's no issues of safety or anything like that. We live in a country where we're basically safe. And then you hear what's going on in Eretz Yisrael, where people are terrified that, you know, there's rockets going on, like you just said, that there was sirens in Yerushalayim. You know, you always think, okay, you know, the South, and Ashkelon and Ashdod and all these places, yeah, okay, Sderot, we feel bad for them. But Yerushalayim, Tel Aviv, you know, Haifa, these Bnei Brak, these things are never going to happen. But now you see, even more north in Eretz Yisrael, that something that you take for granted and something that you think, okay, you're entitled to, you see that other people don't necessarily have. And you see over here by the hurricane on a much smaller scale, you know, most people, their lives were not in danger. I think most, you know, definitely there were people that in five towns that, you know, in Seagate and places like that, that, you know, things just showing that we can't take it for granted. And every day you wake up in the morning, hear your alarm, you shut the alarm, you get dressed, you take your kids off to school, and it's safe. You have to be thankful to Hashem. And of course, at the same time, when you see, when you hear about people that don't have such a thing, don't have such safety, they have to daven for them. And you have to have them in mind in your tefillos. We're not learning Hilchos Tefillah, how much you need to daven every day. But if you have the opportunity to daven Shmona Esrei, include them in your tefillos. Tehillim, I think everybody should have the time to at least say a few kapitlach tehillim for somebody you know personally in Eretz Yisrael, or even stam for the matzav in Eretz Yisrael, just to daven for them and be thankful for what we have. And we need to daven to Hashem, that Bez Hashem, they should, all of Klal Yisrael should be safe around the world.